An ulterior motive for me doing these podcasts is really just to get to hang out with friends. Even then, I'm not very good at it, I'm afraid. My life is spent on the road, traveling around with the same group of people while concurrently meeting groups of new people each day in different cities. But when I'm home, I shut down. I get antisocial, choosing to exist solely on the grid, so to speak. Venturing out for an evening only happens when friends from other bands are playing in town. Otherwise, I savor the stillness. But I've also recognized that that's not the healthiest thing either. Especially since it's been going on this way for years. So these podcasts may be forced conversations, but they often yield some great discussion. And in this case, in this episode, just a really fun time. This week's episode has Brendan Canning of Broken Social Scene making his return to the podcast. Brendan's also my former roommate. Damien Abraham from Fucked Up, who I've already called this podcast's regular, steps up to the plate again, too, for a third time. I can do podcasts with these guys every day. Brendan and Damien are two guys with tons of stories, tons of opinions, and quite frankly, just really great hangs. I can be so closed off that it can take a very long time for me to warm up to someone. So this is a lopsided view as to how I really am. I'm not usually this relaxed and candid. Maybe it's also because JC from our Danko Jones extravaganza rock and roll band finally makes an appearance on the podcast too. A lot of people have been asking, why isn't JC coming on the podcast? And so here he is, folks. Thing is, JC and I travel and work together all year, and because this podcast is done on downtime, we all usually scatter in between tours. Working almost 17 years with someone will have that happen. But everyone's right, JC's appearance is long overdue. One presence, which is definitely missing on this week's episode, is Nick Flanagan. As you'll hear on the podcast, Nick wasn't able to make it as he was out of town, but as the co-host or the associate of this podcast thing we got going on, Nick will be back very soon. It must be noted that this episode was birthed on, of all places, Twitter. Tweets tagging Damien and Brendan and Visions magazine in Germany had us all hashing out tentative plans to do a podcast together, but when? Well, we didn't know until Visions writer Jan Schwarzkamp flew into Toronto this past August to do his feature story on us for the magazine. It put the promised podcast at the top of everyone's to-do list, and what you're about to hear are the results. Jan is the fifth voice on this episode. As with every podcast, there are a few people to thank. Firstly, Noble Street Studios for lending us the room to conduct the podcast this week. We recorded our new album, Rock and Roll is Black and Blue, there. It comes out next week in North America, next week being October 9th, 2012. So it was very comfortable for at least JC and I to return. So thank you to Donnie from Noble Street Studios. Thanks also to Kevin as well from Noble Street. Thanks to Jan from Visions Magazine, who hung out with JC and I for almost 20 hours over a period of 2 days. This podcast was only the start of that hang. And of course, Brendan and Damien and JC. Thank you guys for making this one fun and funny podcast. I think you can hear me laughing through the whole thing. I also want to thank all the people who've been leaving comments on the iTunes stores and leaving ratings. Thank you to Bridget S., Sherry Thomas, Johnny Burns, C. Patterson, and C. Patterson wanted to implore that we get Gordon Corman as a guest on this podcast. And trust me, I have tried. He initially emailed me, so I thought it might happen, but has not replied to my email since. So I've stopped. I'm not going to. If Corman wants to come on, he's welcome, as he knows. But that's about it. We hit a wall with that one. Thank you to Pilsner 13. The Rogue Studios, thank you, Rogue Studios. Truth Spiller, and Truth Spiller apparently wrote that he played with us in an old band of his. What was the name of your band, man? You didn't mention it in your comment. Fatty Rich 5136, Eight String McGee, Mark Shaba, and Sebi, who I will also be seeing you in Stuttgart this fall on tour, and Simon Goldfinch. Thanks, guys. Thank you to all your comments. They're all been positive, so it's been great. And we just want to have the podcast have a more prominent face on the iTunes store. And you can also listen to this podcast on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/DankoJones. But you probably know that already if you're listening to this. I just also wanted to mention that this episode ends with me mentioning someone that we're about to have lunch with. I guess you'll have to listen to the whole episode to find out who it is. But this is someone that I've been listening to since I was 15. And that night that we did the podcast, I ended up on stage with him singing one of his most popular and signature songs. I guess what I'm trying to say is it was a great fucking day in my life. And a slice of it is caught on tape for you all to listen to here. And for that, I want to thank Melanie Kay. Okay, here we go. Brendan Canning, Damien Abraham, JC, Jan Schwarzkamp are on this week's episode of the official Danko Jones podcast, and it starts now. All right. So basically, this is a special podcast at Noble Street Studios. Nick Flanagan, he wanted to be here on Skype, but like, I don't know how to do that and do all this because I'd have to do it through headphones. There's a lot of tech problems.
Did you look into doing that though, or you just?
No, I do. We've done three podcasts on Skype, so I know how to do it. It's very isolating. You have to do it on your headphones. It's really kind of hard, and Nick doesn't have a proper Blue Yeti mic at home or wherever the hell he is in Los Angeles. Nick's doing.
He's like on that Kramer journey from Seinfeld, where Kramer goes to LA to make it and ends up killing someone or getting blamed for killing someone. Nick's doing that right now in LA.
He's doing that right now.
Did Kramer really do that?
No, he didn't kill someone, but he gets blamed for murdering some girl.
Seinfeld episode.
It's not a real life thing.
Well, Nick's. Holy. Nick's life is a Seinfeld episode, man.
Wait, Brendan, you've never seen Seinfeld?
Yeah, well, I never saw that one.
You've never seen that story arc? That's like where they go to the Los Angeles story arc and George.
And I've seen a lot of Seinfeld.
George episodes. Has a thing about tucking the sheets.
No, miss that
I don't
one.
Like when the sheets are tucked!
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I miss
I don't
one.
Either, man.
Oh, I hate it, too. Kind of sounds familiar. Too.
Yeah, you just, it's like a
It's so annoying.
Kicking,
like it's so annoying. Why do they do that?
Sleep in a tent. I don't know. They got to, though, just to make it neat when you walk in.
I you know what? And I really resent making my bed. I don't make my bed now. I'm an adult. I don't make my son make his bed. I'm grown up.
When you sleep in clean sheets that are...
Feels great.
Okay.
It's really good.
So here's JC. Everybody's been asking, why isn't JC on the podcast? What an intro. So we're at Noble Street Studios in Toronto. This is where we recorded our album, our new album, Rock and Roll is Black and Blue. And Nick's in Los Angeles. JC's here. Brendan Canning is here. And Damien Abraham is here.
Hello.
And Jan.
Wait, maybe we should have all said hello.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Can we try that again?
Yeah.
You're so frustrated already. He's so frustrated.
Just getting started.
Brendan Canning.
Hey, how you doing, everybody?
It's good. What is that?
It's the vaporizer.
Oh my God.
That's what we were talking about off the mic. And that's kind of like, what is a vaporizer? It's like a kind of a cleaning mechanism?
A vaporizer is something that you use to open your vocal cord by putting a combination of various herbs in there, like eucalyptus and things like that.
It's like potpourri.
Yeah, it's like a potpourri.
Lavender.
Yeah, they're sold.
Oregano.
They're sold as herbal infusers for your throat.
Oh, it's like pot.
Yeah, he's for like, pot. He's like, it was like, I think some people do it to smoke weed, but I'm not 100% sure because I would never do that.
Right, because you're a professional singer.
I'm a professional vocalist. This is just to open. Actually, though, we got to be honest. Marijuana, I'm a medical marijuana user, so legit.
What's that? There's a ruffling sound.
Oh, that's the marijuana going back into my jar.
do we have medical marijuana in Toronto?
Yes, we do.
You can get a car.
I'm applying right now. My paperwork is in process. But
what about that place that was on like 106 Queen Street East? Of course, I know the address. but that place got busted. Like I remember a couple years ago.
Wait, no, was that the place that was in Kensington Market? Clandestine bakery?
No, one was definitely Queen East.
I don't know that one.
Queen East. That would make sense.
Queen East. Whoa. Yeah. Oh, was it called Zion or something?
Probably.
There are vapor.
Probably. No, you're thinking of Snoop Lion.
Did you hear about that show that he played in Toronto?
I did hear about it.
I heard it was amazing.
I missed it.
Snoop Doggy Dog?
He talks in a patois now.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, he
Dude,
does.
He's a reggae. He's a reggae artist now. Where have you been?
You didn't know this?
No, I thought he just changed his name.
No.
And that was it.
No, it's gone full on reggae.
He's
dude.
Like full on reggae. He does like some songs reggae style.
And he speaks in patois.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's totally put on.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. But like, you know, I think that's one of those accents that people like just don't think's racist when you put it on.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like when you're just like toasting up there and you're like, that's like, oh, that's kind of sketchy.
Yeah. I'm totally getting into martial arts now. So did we finish the round of welcomes?
No, we got to do it again.
Yeah. So Brandon's here.
Yeah. Still texting, here. Yeah. Sorry. I've got this. This director is like coming to stay at my house, like an older guy.
What? Whoa.
Well, no, I'm working on them. Holy man. Why does that sound weird? I'm working.
Broken social scene met a director online and now he's coming to stay at his house.
I'm working on a film and he's the director and he's got to come to Toronto.
Is it Anthony?
No, it's Paul Schrader. He wrote a
Whoa!
Little.
For real?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Well, I'm scoring this film starring Lindsay Lohan and James Dean, the adult film star. And
I was going to say, because there's only one other James Dean.
Yeah.
He's in a movie with Lindsay Lohan?
Yeah. Called The Canyons.
I'd hang out with
Is it written by Brett Easton Ellis?
Yeah.
Yo, did you know that he tweeted on his birthday that his birthday record was the fucked up record?
What?
James Dean?
Yeah. No way.
Yeah, if you ever meet him, can you tell him that I say hello?
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever meet him.
I'm sure you'll meet him at the premiere. He tweets about that movie all the time.
Why don't you just go to the premiere?
Well, I can't go to the premiere.
Why not? Brandon, you
know you're media.
The guy who scored the movie.
You think they let me in?
Yeah,
I don't know. I just want to meet James Dean.
I want to
shake his hand and go, where's this guy in?
Paul Schrader staying at your house?
Yeah, it's a low budget film. I don't think they have enough money for hotels.
Wait. Well, Paul Schrader. That's pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I'm getting confused here. So Lindsay Lohan and Brandon are living together, and there's some porn happening?
and it's being directed by James Dean, the adult film. You know how many?
Are they filming it in Toronto?
No, filming in Los Angeles. But you know how many pornos that guy's been in?
James Dean?
Yeah.
Cha! Yeah, and I know who he's done,
like,
too.
Oh,
Cha!
Like,
he's done the girl on our cover of our last album.
What?
Yeah, he did her a few times.
Apparently
worked with her, I should say.
Apparently, like, to get into the adult film business as a male, like, you have to do a lot of gay porn first.
Because I was gonna say, James Dean is one of the adult male stars that I've noticed that I always wondered whether he was bi or not.
Supposedly that's the only way you make money is if you do both,
right?
Yeah. That's how you make your money, and that's like John Holmes was doing both.
Peter North did it.
Also, apparently, has a really high suicide rate being a male porn star.
Huh.
Like a really high statistic.
And a high failure rate as well, I can imagine.
Probably. I met Ron Jeremy one time.
He's a winner.
At all tomorrow's parties. He was there to introduce Raekwon. I'm like standing at all. I'm standing at the all tomorrow's parties in New York, and I bear in mind I had smoked a little marijuana at this point, and some girl comes up to me and goes, "Can I get a picture with you and Ron Jeremy?" And I'm at all tomorrow's parties, so I'm like, "What?" Like thinking it's like some DJ that I don't know, and I look, and I'm like, "Oh shit, it's really Ron Jeremy."
It really is, man.
And I'm like, "Sure, can I get a copy of it? Can you tag me on this in Facebook?" So, yeah, somewhere out there, there's a woman with a photo of me on one side and the hedgehog on the other.
Wow, that's pretty... I would love to meet him. I think he's not the funniest guy, but I think he's one of the people who thinks he's funny.
I'd like to meet Sasha Grey because I think she legit has good taste in music.
Sasha Grey.
Yeah, like
what's her
the stuff she
you
DJs
guys are,
is
you
like
guys
some
are
dark
deep
gossip.
Into adult film star world.
Sasha Grey is like super like you're like,
dude,
oh,
mainstream.
I've never
mainstream
heard of
now.
Sasha Grey.
I
she
haven't.
Was just in a show called Entourage.
She's in Entourage.
Man.
And
but,
what was her film called? The Call? Is it the She was in that.
Oh,
yeah.
The girlfriend experience.
The girlfriend experience. Yeah,
experiment.
Yeah.
Or something?
Who's the
Sasha is totally into all this southern lore, Sun O.
What?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah, she like DJs dark and goth stuff and like Sisters of Mercy and
Sisters of Mercy.
And she's in a
Hey, Mal. Send this corrosion.
You're totally gonna get sued now by Sisters of Mercy.
I had that 12-inch single.
Did you? You're saying we traded for that?
I traded
Sisters of Mercy.
No,
12-inch when we lived together.
I traded you the Jesus Mary Chain B-sides record for Notorious B.I.G.'s Life After Death, and then we traded another record, The Cure, Kiss Me, Kiss Me, Kiss Me. You traded me, and I gave you something, but I can't remember.
3 Feet and Rising on vinyl by De La Soul.
No, I already have that.
I have your vinyl copy of it.
You have my vinyl. Maybe I had
we
two.
Traded it.
Maybe I had two.
Because I had that, two Life After Death.
I know you were so kind. Like, wow, he's just like trading this record.
Do you guys keep all your records? Do you still have all your records? I've been in your house.
Yeah, I do. It's definitely, I've gotten rid of a bunch.
You?
Yeah, of course. That's how I'm making my living these days.
Yeah, DJ.
Yeah,
but you have to get rid of once in a while because otherwise it
I got rid of.
No, you have to get rid of like if something looked like
sold
spatial issues.
I sold $2,000 worth of records and bought one record.
And how much was the one record?
And how
it
much
wasn't
was that?
$1,800.
And what was
what
it?
Was it?
The test press of the Negative Approach for 7-inch with a different mix of. Of the single.
That's on another level than you and I trading Cure albums. That's next level, man.
$1,800. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's insane. I sold records to do it, so it's almost like I traded.
My, I'm friends with the Kenny Hotz, the Kenny versus Spenny.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
He recently sold one of his t-shirts on eBay for $10,000.
There's some items for sale on eBay right now. I have a tour shirt, a belt, and an old pair of shoes.
I have some paper clips.
Every show. If you can check the shoe items.
We're up to $45.
$10,000 for
$10,000.
A t-shirt.
What, because
it's
it was just, his?
Because it says, like, Spenny is a... Dick,
right,
or,
right.
Know, something
right.
like that.
That show was really popular. They, like, franchised that show. You know, I'm in, like, the first season.
I didn't know that.
No way, I didn't know that.
They became a suspect, and I liked this, like, skit with them, where, like, Kenny...
You worked at Suspect?
Yeah, I worked.
You worked
on the Blur
suspect?
One?
The Markham one, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember you coming in there.
I never,
often.
That wasn't my store.
No,
I'm
but
that, Queen
it
Video.
Used to be my store, but then
no,
I switched.
No, you had a falling out. I knew about your falling out.
You had a falling out at Suspect Video? What'd you do?
No. It's private beef.
Oh, yeah.
Off-air beef.
It had to do with a girl.
It had to do with a girl.
Lisa?
We're going to have to beef out another
podcast. Do you know last time we did a podcast, you said your home address. And I was like, I got to take that out. And you're like,
forget it.
I'm like, are you kidding me?
Dude, I'm in the phone book.
Are you really?
I'm in the phone book.
If I was in high school, you would be getting prank called like crazy.
Yeah. No one prank calls
we
it. It's a lost art.
We prank called Hayden. and we prank called Chubby Fresh, from the drummer from Integrity that was also in Life Crew. Because their numbers are in the record, so you could get their number, and you're like, oh, let's call this person.
You did a crank call.
I did crank call tapes.
Did you call Alice Cooper?
No.
You were looking in the phone book and finding somebody's name was Alice
Cooper?
Oh,
yeah.
I love your band.
Judas Priest. I look up, like, people's last names are Priest, and I got this old lady, and I go, hey, is this Priest? And she's like, oh, yeah. You guys are fucking awesome. I saw you in 83.
Dude, his crank call tape is really good. He's got some gems.
There was some gems, and I for legal reasons as well.
Have you ever heard of that really. Just Far a Laugh? One?
I have it.
It's so
awesome. Yeah, it's so awesome. He does the entire We don't have to take our clothes off by Jermaine. What's his name? Jermaine
Dupri?
No, not Dupri.
Jackson.
We don't have to take
our clothes off to have a good time. That's everyone knows that. But the guy goes into the verses. Yeah. And he's like just saying it like to, I don't know, what he, like,
line,
a club. He's trying to get a gig.
Yeah.
Oh, I've heard that.
Yeah. Dude, that is like, oh,
have you
I
read
love
his
that.
Husker Du book?
Who's Husker Andrew Earls?
Book who did that? Just for a laugh.
Jeff Jensen and Andrew Earls. And Jeff Jensen is the one who's got like the more of like the high. I don't know what I'm trying to do their voice. anyway, but Andrew Earls is also a writer, writes for Vice and stuff, and wrote a thing on Husker Du, like a book about Husker Du that came out before the Bob Mould one.
Jermaine Stewart.
Wait a minute. Were you just Googling it just now?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
You weren't texting Paul Schrader?
No, I was not.
What?
No, that was Sarah texting because she likes to read my emails. And she said, is Paul coming today? And I said, no, he's not coming today.
Oh.
I'm not prepared for guests. What do you mean? The back room is currently being slept in.
By someone else?
Yeah, by my former neighbor, Edwin. He's a classical violinist. Well, also played on the Mars like, Volta record.
Whoa.
I'm throwing out the names.
I thought you meant Edwin from the group I'm Mother Earth.
No. Although I did run into Edwin recently, and I told him I thought that I'm Mother Earth reunion was bullshit without him. Because it wasn't with him.
I got to say.
Other dude was super nice, though. He used to come to
Brian. I know. He might be a super nice guy, but he's not the guy who wrote the hit tunes.
No, but they would they do One More Astronaut, or would they be doing like his era? Because they had hits with the other dude singing.
I don't know.
Like, not legit hits, but.
Like, Summertime in the Void?
Dude, Dio era Sabbath is now considered on par with Ozzy era Sabbath. We live in a different time.
We do. You know what?
An Edwin and a whatever, Brian.
I was in Chicago and I had a day off, and I went to the House of Blues to see the Dio tribute night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Disciples of Dio with Ripper Owens?
Ripper Owens, but
Simon
Ripper
Wright.
Owens. Yeah, who's the other singer?
I don't know.
He's
an English
guy.
Simon Wright on drums and Ripper Owens is singing.
And there's Rudy Sarzo on bass.
Oh.
He's the man.
Rudy's the man, man.
But he was like, it was all dudes. Kind of a bummer show, I gotta say.
What were you about to say? Oh,
are
all
you
dudes?
Shocked at this? Wait, how was this Dio tribute night?
Is he dead?
12. And I just couldn't believe how many dudes were there. And they were all old. Like, I just, like where were the kids?
And Ronnie
have
was
you heard
dead.
Dubstep? Have you heard the stuff dubstep? That's where they are.
Yeah, it's sad, yeah. They are at the Bass Nectar show.
So there's another guy staying at your house, and then this director, Paul Schrader, is going to stay at your house with this
No, Edwin's only, for a Edwin's only in for a couple nights. He's going on tour with his group. Well,
What's
one
his
of his
group?
Groups, Skylark. Sky, no, Sky. Wait, Wooden Sky.
Oh, I know that band, Wooden Sky. Oh,
yeah.
Crazy, okay.
Oh. Anyway, there you go. A little can rock.
Is he Canadian?
He is Canadian.
And he's in Mars Volta?
No.
We played with Mars Volta at the Esquina Festival just 2 months ago.
I just played with that at the drive-in a couple weeks ago in Japan at Fuji Rock.
Oh, how old are they?
I didn't get to see them because our stage was so far from the backstage area that by the time we got back, we couldn't get back to see them.
Actually, seeing at the drive-in on their In Casino Out tour was one of the concerts I'm most proud of to have seen because I saw them before they blew up.
Oh, yeah? How do you one better? Saw him before that record came out at the Gilman. Oh,
really?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Just got that much cred.
I saw Metallica with Cliff Burton.
Are you serious?
Really?
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, on the Ride the Lightning tour.
I think, for me, Brennan wins.
Glenn Salter interviewed them at the back of the concert hall when they opened for, like,
Wasp
or some shit.
And Wasp, Metallica, Armored Saint.
Yeah, and
God. Glenn Salter.
Yeah. MSI, Glenn. Rooked Suspect.
Yeah.
Glenn did a... MSI. Sorry, I beat you all. Glenn wrote about an old band I was in and for one of his zines.
What zine?
It's one of the sex ones. Or is that all his zines?
MSI, more stupid initials.
Yeah, more stupid initials. But they're the Squelch, 30-second Squelch, or 30-second
Yeah,
Squelch.
It was a pink, it was like a pink.
With Wendy Williams,
yes.
Wendy Williams on the cover?
Yeah, Wendy Williams
on
the cover.
I'm going to have to read that. What band?
Violent Brothers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a good name.
What, is this the first time you're hearing about it?
We were roommates for how long?
4 years.
Never once did I hear about the Violent Brothers.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Wow. It was a weird time when I was living with you in my, like, in my life.
That was a weird time for both of you, I imagine. Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting.
Okay. There's this camera guy at my work, Much Music, that has worked there forever, and he insists that Feist... Leslie Feist, played in NC-17. That is not true, right?
What, the treble charger?
Yeah.
No, that's not
okay,
true.
Okay, good. Okay, he's like, I swear it happened. I'm like, it did not happen. He's like, they came here.
Maybe he's getting it confused with her being in
By Divine Right. That's what I was thinking. But he's like, no, it wasn't By Divine Right. I know she played in that too.
No, okay.
No,
well,
he's wrong.
Yeah, she was in By Divine Right.
Yeah.
That I remember. She was supposed to be here, or kind of. I asked
She's in
you,
Istanbul.
Right.
We're going to Istanbul soon.
Oh, yeah?
Fucked up.
First time?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Was it cool?
Yeah.
You guys have been there?
Uh-huh.
I'm excited.
Yeah, morning prayers all surrounding the city at 5 in the morning. You sort of...
How did you feel about that, Mr. 11 o'clock?
Oh, you just opened the window. Yeah. I was here at 11. You told me be here at 11.
No, hey,
I was here
I
at 11:15 and you
no.
were still... Getting tech issues sorted out, complaining about Skyping and how much of a hassle it is.
No, I got you.
I like the morning prayers was trippy. You know, you feel like you're in some movie. You open the windows, it's all misty out, and you're all, like, oh, all like different mosques from around the city, you know, sort of pumping it out.
I would think the band name would bar you from... certain places. How open are they for this show?
I don't know. That's going to be interesting to find out. No, it doesn't matter. Like, it's more of an issue in America where English is the first language. You know, like, swear words, like, you could have a band called, like, Puta.
Puta.
But you could have a band called Puta that played in, like, you know, probably Canada. And, no, maybe not. Maybe Canada's too multicultural.
What's Puta?
Like mother
whore.
Fuck. Or whore or something in Spanish.
Oh, I think you could probably get into Canada. No one would care.
In Japan, you could definitely have a band called Puta that plays it around.
It's Puta, man.
Yeah. Like it's never it's
people actually, under the.
It's like
people
it's more,
people, people under the authority.
Like, curse words are only issues because you're like raised with it being an issue from the time you're a kid. So if you're not really raised with like a word being an offensive word, like we got into China. We had
what?
No problem playing
so you played
China.
China.
We had to sneak into China as tourists. We couldn't apply for work visas because of our lyrics. But but we got into China, and once we were in China, like we never got in any trouble for like being in a band called Fucked Up.
In China, in order to release your like music there, the government has to go comb through your lyrics, approve it, and do the translation.
Yeah, and give you a barcode, and that's the only way you can get a barcode. Yeah. We when we were there, we met punk bands that put out their own stuff, the political stuff, the like. Self-release it, smuggle the CDs in.
We put out a record.
We put out a record there.
But we haven't toured there.
You've played there, right?
No.
No?
No.
Canada does, like, the Canadian government has this, like, Canadian weekend. Like,
yeah.
Where they, like, bring bands to play, like, Beijing, Shanghai.
We would love that.
Like, Colorado played it. Tegan and Sarah played it. Like,
we've been around longer than these bands.
Bullshit. We didn't get to play it. We snuck in. We went in legit, you know.
That is,
I mean,
legit,
like, punk,
man, for sure.
Legit punk. We took a boat from Japan. We did.
Wow.
It was fucking terrible.
You took a boat?
No, we took a ferry, a 48-hour ferry across the Chinese-Japanese Sea.
What, like, you had, like, rooms and cabins and stuff
Well,
on
no,
the boat?
Luckily we paid for first class, because yes, we did. But originally, when we were first class, was not first class by anyone else's definition. That was just in a room.
That's understood.
But, like, the main class was you were in a...
In a big container.
Yeah, big container with floor mats. And people were vomiting and rolling and vomit of other people.
Gross.
Everyone on the ship, apart from the crew and Jonah, the drummer from Fucked Up, was puking. Or bedridden. Because it was so rough, the sea. I survived.
And how was the gig?
24 hours. We did a tour, two-week tour in China.
You did a two-week tour of China?
Yeah, we did like 7 shows. And then we just did like a lot of travel. We traveled by like... plane, train, and automobile, basically. We, like, took train or cab to the show and then stayed in, like, hotels.
That's awesome.
It was super fun. Like, and you're, like, in Shanghai, we played to, like, our biggest crowd, which was, like, I guess 500.
Yeah.
international. It could have been like the most multicultural show we played, because in Shanghai there's so many like Canadians, Americans, wow. Australians, English, like, you know, people from Singapore, people from like all over, right? So,
yeah.
So, but when you go the further into the country you go, the more you're playing to like legit, you know, bands that, you know, we're playing to small crowds, but like kids that were just like have no band from, you know, Canada really comes there, except DOA had come one time and the Queers, I guess, had played there, type thing. So
the Queers played there.
Yeah, this guy, the guy that brought us over, brought the Queers over and brought DOA over previously. And it's like, we didn't make any money. Like, it was not like a, but it was more just like an amazing trip.
To I think of, that of course, was the thing.
You just do it for the experience.
We used, we used the money we made in Japan to pay for the Chinese tour, type thing. And it was just before I had a baby, so I flew right home. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the band kind of stayed there and hung out a little bit, kind of between Beijing and Shanghai.
Wow. Jersey. That is wild, man.
Yeah, it's a really awesome place to go, and like, it's cool to see like kids building a music scene under less than hospitable conditions, and building it for like no other reason than they just love this music.
Yeah,
and it's also awesome because you get records there by what you could find in the market or what you see on YouTube, right? So the like, you'll see a band that sounds just like Rancid that does Iron Maiden covers.
Like
just
a Chinese, correct. Like a legit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like,
oh,
yeah.
Like homegrown bands?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
There's a great band, Car Sick Car, from there that sounds like fall, post-punk kind of influence stuff. That's really cool. And they had another band called Speak Chinese or Die that we played. That's pretty good. Yeah.
That's a good name.
Yeah, like it's a really like, you
SOD
know,
covers?
No, they were like, once again, kind of post-punk right. type thing too.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, did you continue any kind of communication with them after?
Some of the people in the band did. I kind of like, I followed in touch with everyone, you know, because I'm like so scattered. And I guess when I come home, I just like worry about the kids, you know, and I'm like bad at keeping in touch with people pretty much. But Twitter helps. Twitter's like the easiest way to just like, yo, shout out. How you doing?
Yeah.
That thing. But
that's kind of how we got this podcast
together. Twitter.
Jan, do you do the Twitter for Visions?
No. It's done by our online editor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't even have my own Twitter account.
Oh. I don't know.
I have Instagram and Facebook. That should be it, right?
That's enough, isn't it?
Well, Facebook to me, I think the reason Facebook's going to fall is because parents got on. Because it's like, and your boss, you know? And you can't like have like your friends and talk to your friends honestly and openly when you have people that you're embarrassed of finding out fun shit about what you did, but reading your stuff.
You could write them mails and not like post on there.
But I know, but I think
that's what I think.
But that's what Facebook was originally, was like people being like, look at the fucking party we were at. Like, I'm waiting. And then, and now it's like your mom was like, look at this party
what were
you
doing last night?
You know, and then someone tags you in a photo now, and it's like, you were naked at this, like...
I don't always appreciate getting tagged in photos.
No, and people tag people in photos all the time, and you can't control that.
And then what if it's not you? And tagged in photos, it's like, this is not me.
Yeah, I've been...
like someone... some other ginger.
At the airport with Brendan.
Yeah. Like, who the fuck is...
Anyway. Well, try just being the fat bald guy, the fat bearded bald guy. There's a lot of dudes that look like me, and there have been shows we've played where, like, there's, like, dudes, like, kids coming out to me afterwards being like, I got an autograph from a guy that wasn't you. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, like, I can't help that, you know, I have a very common look. That's like we have this footage at Much Music of Peaches, and Feist is like her like
bitch lap lap
dude
and stuff like that stuff like that all this Toronto stuff that people don't know how incestuous and like how small Toronto
are you kidding
is.
Me I mean I moved in with Brendan in what was it 99 and you can I say this
sure
you and Feist were going out and Leslie was just. Leslie. She was just that girl who had nights at the Rivoli and she'd play her guitar, right? And she'd come over. She was in By Divine, right?
That CD now that she put out back then sells for like hundreds of bucks on eBay.
Yeah. I know. I should have grabbed it. It's like, hey,
you had
Les,
one.
I know. Can I just grab a box of these? I just want to help you promote it. Tuck it away.
Like, that's the last thing you think at. Like that, it's funny now when you talk to kids, and even you're like, you like that band? Like, that's the one that you like. I had no idea that was going to be the one that you went for. Like, and that goes for like everything. You know?
Well, it's like my mom throwing away my Power Slave T-shirt. Like, I saw that shirt on sale for $600 somewhere. Just bananas. I had all my concert T-shirts on one hanger at home. You know, like 16 all piled on one hanger. And then just one day I went back. I'm like, where are the shirts?
Oh, brutal, dude.
Jill Heath?
Yeah, of course.
Legendary Toronto promoter and just legendary like punk rock figure. Kind of an unsung hero punk rock
DJ.
Figure.
Yeah, man.
Took photos in DJ, took photos in like
Tai Chi Master.
Youth of the Day's record, went on tour with Black Flag. Anyway, yeah.
She have some like someone held a gun to her head on that Black Flag tour?
Oh,
I no, bet. I heard okay, that go on, name, but yeah. I heard a
but
yeah.
She made all her shirts into a giant quilt.
Oh, that's brilliant.
It's awesome. Oh, and, like all cool. the oldies concert shirts.
I heard she's like a Tai Chi
master.
I mean I've been to her class, but I heard that she was held at gunpoint and she took the guy down. She's like, man, she's
hard.
She used to help us out even. We would hire Jill to do the door for our gigs before. And at the end of the night, she'd be like, okay, John, come. We got to settle. And she just always would walk me into the girls' washroom. She's like, we'd settle there. And she's like, no one's going to come in here. Don't worry. I'm like, okay, thanks, Jill.
And I remember when I was broke and I needed money for rent. I don't know. I think I said it to Jill in passing. And then, like, she called me up. And she would have odd jobs for me to do.
Yeah, no, she saw everything, right? And like worked with every band that came to town and put out records by, you know, Articles of Faith and stuff. And you know,
so you
she's
should
been
have
on
a
Warped Tour though, right? She's been doing that for years.
Yeah, and then she worked for the Deftones for a while, I think. Kevin.
Was that in Toronto?
Yeah, it was like Kevin, Melissa Ofdemar. This is like my most name-droppy story ever. Kevin Drew from Broken Social Scene. So here I was with Kevin Drew from Broken Social Scene seeing my good friend Mac from Superchunk and Jim from Superchunk play an acoustic set.
That's when they came in and played at Soundscape.
Yeah, no, the Royal Movie Theater for the premiere of that movie they did the soundtrack for. Right. Driveway to Driveway, I think it was called the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe that song was featured in it, but maybe the movie's even called that. But anyway, so then Kevin Drew from Broken Social Scene, I don't know if you guys know him.
Who, that guy? Yeah,
he shows
sure.
up with Melissa Ofdemar from Hole. I got a call from Jello on my phone that we should all meet up. We all go hang out together, you know?
You mean with Mac and the other guy from Superchunk was Melissa Ofdemar, Jello Biafra, and Kevin Drew from Road. That's it. Wow.
We went to Ted's Wrecking Yard.
Ted's Collision.
Ted's Wrecking Yard.
Yeah. There was just recently a little story about Ted's Wrecking Yard done by Denise Benson as she does her roundup of Toronto clubs.
What did it say?
Oh, I just talked about the good old days of Ted's Wrecking Yard.
There
like
was?
Yesterday. How many?
What good times?
There were.
I don't remember good times.
I do. There's a bit that we played there once.
I saw you guys play there.
Yeah, and I think some of the footage is in the documentary we did.
Right.
Ben was born. You guys don't like Cheshire Cat? What up, Pose Dogs? Where were you in 96 at Snow Jam? Put on by Jill Heath, I will add. Oh, and Johnny Burdett.
Tag it all together.
Snow Jam? I think, because I played some festival in Quebec. That was like Pennywise and Strung Out. I don't know what
that was. Snow Jam, too, I think, yeah.
I don't know what we were doing on the festival.
What, Broken Social Scene?
No, Head.
Oh.
We're on, I think, because Paj, liked us, so he put us on this punk rock festival.
Yeah, yeah.
Kids were coming up, it's like, oh, what is this music? I'm like, does it sound like Strung Out? I'm like, oh, yeah, sure it does. Just give me your $10, kid. Sounds like whatever you want it to sound like, my friend. That'll be another $10.
I went up to Alice Donut when I saw Madonna, and I'm like, which is your best record? He's like, what? I'm like, I'm only going to buy one, but so which one's your best one? And he told me Mule, and he's right. It's fucking awesome. I still listen to it.
That's an honest question.
Yeah.
I'm on a fucked up track.
James Dean, though.
Are you?
I took his place for a track, yeah.
But you're not on a track that I've produced.
I wrote the lyrics for his track.
Yeah. I hope I didn't. Changed the
word.
No,
Kevin was supposed to be on that record too, but he never came through. I should have called you instead.
Yeah, I was like, you told me Drew was going to be on there.
I'll show up.
Then Kevin wrote me like, I haven't had a chance to come up with any lyrics. It's like way too. I was like, it's like lyrics. Just like,
dude, I emailed you when you needed it.
I know.
Total punctual. Yeah. I was
I can tell you from my experience of asking people more famous than me to do me favors to help me do things, who is cool and who's not cool to work with.
And Kevin Drew knows the world is not cool. He's not.
Whoa, I'm just kidding.
Throw Kevin under the bus.
Yeah. I love that dude.
I heard those wheels just turn.
No, you know, like, hey, listen, Kevin knows that. A lot of people don't know. But Kevin knows.
You guys go back.
That I'll piss on him all the time.
You guys go. Old friends.
You were there. You were there saying, "No, this is a good track. You should put this on the record." I'm like, you were picking tunes for the "You Forgot In People" record.
You did.
Yeah. Well, I still say that I came up with that song title, but you didn't credit me for
song title.
I'm still
your
fag.
I'm still. Oh yeah. No, you said "Cue the Fags."
I did say "cue the fags," but I mean that influenced the song title. I'm still your fag.
Are you sure you want to take responsibility for this one?
Not really.
Like, I'm the one who told Rahoa that what they really need to do.
I went to school with that guy.
You did, Eric Rudy.
Who's Rahoa?
Eric Rudy, isn't it?
Andrew. Well, I went to school with his brother. Andrew Birdie was in my class.
Oh, whoa.
And dude was 2 years ahead of us.
Who's Rahoa?
And he was the vice president of student council. I did not vote for him.
Rachel Hoy. Did he win as like a neo-Nazi?
No. But here's the thing is...
I'm running on a strict neo-Nazi platform for student council president.
His brother was Andrew Birdie. George Birdie.
George Birdie.
Was in my school. He was the vice president of student council, but he was also, if you look in our yearbook, he was in a group called the Chocolate Cake Club, and it was just white guys and black guys in their year. And I was on the subway once, and I saw one of the
Chocolate Cake Club.
Nobody knew this, and here he was on Sally Jesse Raphael saying that he's a white supremacist neo-Nazi, and I'm like. I look at the George Birdie. I look in our yearbook, and I'm like, no, he was in the Chocolate Cake Club. No, it's George Birdie from the Chocolate Cake Club. And I met one of the dudes who was in the Chocolate Cake Club on the subway. This maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago. His name was Andrew as well. And I said, dude, like he was one of the chocolates in the Chocolate Cake Club. And I go, dude, what was all that about? He's like. I don't know anything about that. I have no idea.
Well,
I think he saw him in the gym, like when he was like full on, when he was totally into that whole white supremacist thing. He saw him at the gym, but they said hello, but they didn't talk about it. It's weird.
He like totally left the movement now, right?
He
like,
did, and he's married to I think an East Indian girl or
something like that.
Something like that. So he went. Like,
Is this guy who was like in the Chocolate Cake Club, then became a white supremist, then married an East Indian? I gotta meet this guy.
He was on Sally Jesse Raphael, man.
And he was on Sally Jesse Raphael.
And he was on Donahue at the time.
He was like super infamous. Like he ran, was it Resistance Records? Was that his thing?
Yeah, something like that.
It was like,
I mean,
it's like the biggest neo-Nazi label.
All I can think about is Frank the Skinhead from Dunbarton High School. When, like, you know,
was Frank on Sally?
No, he was not on Sally. He was just like some
psycho,
you know,
in high school,
some like, you know, guy with red laces. And you know, when we did our
I bought Doc Martens at IXL, like, that's where, like, because you only buy Doc Martens at that point in two places, IXL or Hercules. And IXL is the one that got busted years later for being a front for a white supremacist group.
Wow, really?
Yeah, Like, or they're selling neo-Nazi music under the table.
I watched that Edward Norton movie on the plane recently.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That movie's like a Nike commercial for fascism, though. It's like, it seriously is. Like, it's like, you're watching it, it's like, this is the worst. I fucking hate that movie.
American Gigolo.
American History X.
American History
X. I'm kidding. American Gigolo is a Paul Schrader film.
Look at you thrown in there. Plugging away, man.
Paul Schrader.
My friend Paul Schrader directed this film, American Gigolo. Maybe you heard of it. It's got starring Richard Gere.
That's a wicked movie. And I just saw that 2 weeks ago.
You know, just speaking.
Did he do hardcore?
I don't know if he did hardcore, but I was IMDb speaking with I was speaking with Al Pacino's daughter yesterday.
Is that a movie?
No.
I'm glad I'm not name dropping person on the podcast.
I'm gonna name drop this shit.
Did you say you were actually speaking with Al Pacino's daughter?
Yeah.
Like that's not a movie title?
No.
That's your life. Yeah. You're speaking with Al Pacino's daughter?
She wants me to DJ some party.
She lives in Toronto? She lives in...
Ah, they got a film company.
Al Pacino's daughter lives in Toronto?
Yep. Dude, start stalking.
Why didn't we ever start DJing together?
I don't know. You never
asked. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I fucking hated it.
I remember you DJed at the Cameron once. It was pretty good.
Oh, I hate it. No, I love it. Like, dude, the first half an hour, and then I just want to go.
Yeah, I know. It does get a little boring
because
sometimes.
Because in the first half hour, there's nobody there, and you can play whatever you want.
Oh, and then everybody starts getting drunk, and they want requests. And I'm tired.
Can you play that song?
I'm the worst DJ in the world. So people hate when I DJ because I just only bring 45s, and they're like, "Do you have this?" I'm like, "No, I only have this." I'm like, "Do you have this?" No, only got this.
Do you have Aqua?
What? When is this guy? Is he coming
Barbie doll
today?
Well, this is some drama here. We're capturing this.
I cannot watch any movie today. This is not happening today.
Look, this is what you do, Ren. Paul comes over
to
the
place. Did you just honestly say, I can't watch a movie today? There's no way I can watch it.
Dude, like, I have other things.
I have planned out to watch a movie.
I have literally...
This guy's coming over.
That's your life.
Al Pacino's daughter.
That's your fucking life. You just talk to Al Pacino's daughters, and you watch movies, hang out with James Dean and J-Lo Biafra.
And I had dinner with Zach Galifianakis and Will Ferrell a couple weeks ago.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Just
now you're a prick. Now that's the dinner I want to get in on.
Well, because Kevin was
Kevin Drew knows the world.
He was the entertainment coordinator for Zach's wedding. So he brought the beauties out, and I DJed the boat party.
All right.
I'd like to ask, is Zach always like he seems to be, like totally weird, and you never know if he's serious or not?
He's awesome.
I don't know him super well, but I've always...
Yeah, dinner with him.
Yeah, I know, but I was talking to the publicist.
He's really good friends with my friend Tom Sharpling from The Best Show on WFMU.
Oh.
Tom's impressive as Will Ferrell. No, Tom's amazing.
Tom, what movie was he in?
Tom. Actually, he won an Emmy for Monk. Dick.
Did he?
Yeah.
For Monk?
Yeah, he wrote that show Monk.
Speaking of Tom Sharpling, I actually know...
Best Show.
Best Show on WFMU. I know Nick Flanagan, and he has been on that show.
Nick Flanagan.
And these Tom has sanctioned.
I'd like to say that these name drops have now just taken a colossal nosedive.
We're back to Nick Flanagan.
Maybe your ex-roommate can hook up our mutual friend Nick Flanagan, who's out in Hollywood trying to make it right now with some of his big shot Hollywood connections. Oh, wait, they're all in Toronto. He's trying to make it in Hollywood, and Hollywood's all here staying in Brendan's back room.
He did a show with Neil Hamburger the other week. I tweeted that.
No Will Ferrell.
No.
He could have been more here in one night by having dinner with Will Ferrell and Kevin Drew, the entertainment coordinator from Zach Galifianakis' wedding, and Zach Galifianakis.
You know, I always call Kevin Drew, Kevin Drew Knows the World. And it's just between, I guess, me, you, and Kevin.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
Because it just got to this point when I was living with Brendan, and Kevin would call the house, and I'd be, and you know, we'd chit chat if Brendan's not around or something. And then it just got to the point where I'm like, first, this is before Broken had broken.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who are you? Like, why? Like, how did you get to know, like, Lenny Kravitz's band's? Why were you at their wedding? Or like, it's just crazy. He was at a Clinton wedding. I'm like, who are you?
At a Clinton wedding.
Kevin was
for WWE.
Kevin Drew?
Yeah, ask him.
He was not at a Clinton. What do you mean?
Well, he coordinated the wedding. I don't know. He was the wedding planner.
Well, how many Clintons are
there? How many years were you in the band with Chelsea Clinton?
Well, Bill Clinton from the... the godfather of funk.
who has a daughter who lives in Scarborough, I think.
Really?
What?
Yeah. When we played with him... Okay, here we go. Now it's our turn.
Your time to name drop.
When we played in Norway, we played with... It was us and it was funk at Parliament. Mm. And I shared an elevator with George all the way up to our rooms. And I go... I had to say it. I'm a huge fan. And I knew he had ties in Toronto. I go, yeah, I'm actually from Toronto, you know, and Scarborough, it starts naming off streets and everything, like real specific streets and everything. I think he has a daughter. I heard he had a daughter. This is the story I heard from someone who's actually already been mentioned on this podcast, who used to hang out with her daughter. And she said,
Kevin Drew.
No, not Kevin Drew. And she said that she used to be friends, or she's friends with George Clinton's daughter. And they were backstage. This is when I think Parliament went on tour with Lollapalooza and the Beastie Boys.
Oh, yeah.
So in the Toronto show, they were backstage, and the daughter shows up with a boyfriend. And George Clinton just grabs him, throws him up against the wall.
Whoa.
And he goes, you better treat her right. Like, just meeting him on first.
Whoa. Just first impression.
First 2 minutes. He just throws, you better treat her right. And the guy's like, yeah. Then he just let him go, and everything was like, as if nothing ever happened.
You need that.
What?
I think you do. I don't know. A little, like, papa's coming in, just like, you know, a bit of fear of God and his son-in-law.
But I mean, you could do it other ways. I mean, that's pretty physical. That's scary, man.
Gets the message. Hey, spare the rod, spoil the child.
Yeah, that's true.
You can quote me on that.
But, you know, I wouldn't think of it.
That's a good one.
Really? That's your quote.
Yeah.
Original quote.
Yeah, who said that?
It's
Canning. Canning said that.
But anyways, getting back to Kevin Drew.
Dude, I gotta eat something. Everything. I'm hungry. Like, I only had a salad.
Did you cut
morning.
Me off while I was just about sorry, to cut up sorry. Kevin Drew?
Danko, I'm sorry.
I think he's going to tie it all up.
Tie it all up.
Well, you ever see The Friendly Giant? Well,
look way up.
Let's get someone on the recorder here.
Okay, well, we got an hour. We got a good hour of full-on name-dropping.
That should be the end.
If you take up the name-dropping, we got about 15 minutes. We should probably give him more, because by the time you edit out all the sketchy stuff, we're going to be like 15 seconds.
In this episode, we talk about...
It's just name dropping. Constant name dropping. Well, this
I
is great.
Just want to spit out a few more.
Totally.
Do it.
I know a couple more people that I need to talk about.
You said Will Ferrell. That's pretty heavy.
That's a big. That it won't get any bigger.
It won't get any bigger than Will Ferrell. Come on, man. Lindsay Lohan.
Well, I can remember when the Stone Temple Pilots were opening for us at the Rivoli.
Really?
Yeah. November 7th.
Tell that story.
Wait,
man.
Opening for By Divine Right?
No, opening for Head. Whoa. That was right.
STP opened for you guys
at the Riv.
Now, Rivoli can hold 150 people, maybe?
175. But both Elliot Lefko and Gary Taup were trying to get the show. And I was working at Scotiabank, and I was in the file room, fielding calls from Gary Taup. Gary, hang on a sec. Elliot? Uh-huh. Because Gary wanted to bring them to the Opera House and have us open. But Elliot just said...
Fuck you.
Yeah. Said, fuck you.
Well, did they get in touch with you guys? Like the Stone Temple Pilots dudes?
Yeah, like a year later, after they blew up, we opened for them.
No, I meant before that, like how the show. Was he like,
no.
I am the man that wants to
I want to. I am looking for a gig in a small Toronto
We're looking
club.
To play a club in Toronto, maybe on Queen. Can you give us some kind of guarantee?
Well, the club looks cool. I think we're going to fill the room tomorrow.
Celtic. The most famous person you ever met is?
The guy from Thomas Gabriel from Celtic Frost.
That's the most famous guy I've met?
I don't know. That's a pretty
You met Axl Rose, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's most famous.
What's the story about
JC and I? You guys were opening for Guns N' Roses.
The Riot Show.
But their tour manager asked you to do a 90-minute set instead of the 70, requisite 40?
Yeah, 70.
Yeah, well, we always would be like, kind of told before we get on stage, like, you know, you might have to extend the set. So there would be the tour manager on the side kind of telling me, stretch it out. So, you know.
So he would call out songs.
So I would just call out songs and tell them, play this. So by the time it was an hour and a half, 90 minutes.
All credit to the crowd. They didn't boo us or anything. But, you know, by the 60th minute, you could see their faces were like, all right, like, enough. But
especially because we weren't using any of the pyro or anything. It's just three guys.
Did they at least give you all the PA?
Well, yeah, we had all the PA.
They were so
nice
to us.
They were totally nice to us, but we did have less of a light show than they did. Yeah. So it was kind of...
You have what you want, guys. There's no way you're blowing us off the stage.
Wrap it up.
But let's wrap it up. Can I just say I miss the indie record store arrogance?
Yeah, I love it.
I hate the indie record store.
Yeah.
But, you know. I still go to record stores all the time.
Look at you, man. You hate the arrogance.
I wonder if you have a single by my friend Lindsay Lohan. She did a couple years ago.
I'm buying it for my friend Will Ferrell.
I was singing with my friend Zach and Will last night. Well, and he's like, I don't know who.
I'll tell you, when Ted Danson came up to me and said, "Hey, do you mind playing some Steely Dan?" I said, "Sure, Ted. What song do you want to hear? Do you want to hear Peg?" And he said, "No, I think the Fez." I said,
"Are you
serious?" No, I'm not serious.
Did you hear this? Did you hear about the scene in Prague before we have to wrap it up? Did you hear that Sherman Helmsley had like an acid, speaking of Prague, because he was a huge Prague fan, but he had an acid laboratory in his basement at his house when he died.
Whoa.
Yeah, he was like making LSD.
Wow. I heard he was a Prague rock fan.
Huge Prague rock fan. Yeah, went on, loved that. Gong, like loved all those Gentle Giant.
Is that Sherman Helmsley? Is that George Jefferson?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
How come no one made the "he's moving on up" comment there?
I think because it was made on Twitter like 10,000 times.
You're new to Twitter, right?
Don't you? When I follow you. I just have.
I follow you.
All right.
I followed Kevin, and then he was like, "You don't follow me," and made a big deal. And then he didn't follow me back, but now he does. He's like, I do different people, follow different people each week. You got Kevin on the show. You got to get Kevin on the show, too.
Dude, you need Kevin on the show.
He's not going to do much. He's basically going to, like, he would be scared to be on this.
Yo, here it is. You, K. Drew, BT, Brian Taylor.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
You got to be there.
I would be hiding under the table.
Well, that's why.
I'll be there.
That would be a good one.
It'd be insane. It would be insane.
I would. I'll tech for it.
You were here when he teched for us. Brendan teched for us one tour.
The Sloan tour across Canada. I drove.
You did everything. Kudos.
I asked Chris Murphy one time if Fucked Up could go on tour opening for Sloan, and he said no, because when we brought Danko out, we realized it's not good to have a more high-energy band opening.
We didn't do that. I mean, we went over well, but it was a Sloan thing. We didn't...
This was what Chris told me. Chris was just being polite. He's like, I just don't want to take Fucked Up.
Chris has his own...
I think
Chris should be on this.
I think Danko was selling a lot of merch on that tour.
Yeah, we're doing all right.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to wrap it up.
Yeah. These guys got...
Let's just get a look at the spreadsheet from that tour.
I can pull it up.
All right.
How are we going to wrap this up?
Thank you for having me.
Hey, name droppers, let's go have lunch with Jell-O by after. I'm terrified of your eyes. They can be so cold.